Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott. The restaurant scene in the Buffalo area is especially vibrant, but if you're a vegan or vegetarian, the options can be limited. Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree, is joined today by food editor Krista Glennie-Seshu to talk about the challenge of finding restaurants that cater to vegans and vegetarians outside the urban core. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
With so many restaurants in the Buffalo area, why do you think there is such a scarcity when it comes to offering vegetarian dishes?
Well, I'm sure there's a wide variety of reasons, but I think people aren't asking for them. You know, people are sort of not demanding them. The culture here is just doesn't seem incredibly open to vegan and vegetarian eating. We're very, a blue-collar, lower-middle-class, middle-class town with kind of reputation for hearty eating, and eating meat is part of hearty eating. And I think that's been our reputation since for a long time. But I think the city is changing. I think people are changing. People have more food allergies and food sensitivities than they did. More people are realizing the benefits of eating vegetarian. I think that parents are encouraging their kids more than happened. And we have a new generations of families who are attuned and enlightened to this kind of eating, and the restaurants just haven't caught up.
Krista, you're very much involved in the local restaurant scene. What is your perception of Buffalo? I called it vibrant, but it's vibrant in a way of having great restaurants, but the choices are, as you said, Elizabeth, the choices are really centering around meats.
Oh, very much so. And I think our whole, the chicken wing, beef on wick, which are the foods associated with us, both high in meat and high in fat, that's got to be part of it.
I think that there are a lot of options in Buffalo compared to where we were a decade ago. So I don't want anyone to mistake my comments in any way undercutting what's happened in growth in our restaurant scene. But I do think that what we have is a lot of independently operated restaurants, which is what makes our scene vibrant. But a lot of those restaurants are actually operated by chefs, and chefs are notorious meat eaters. And they are sort of notorious for not really liking people with what they would consider fussy eating habits, which I don't know that I would classify being a vegetarian or vegan as being fussy. But I think that that also has something to do with why there are not more options like that. If you look at a list of all the restaurants available within, let's say, 50 miles of City Hall, the bulk of those restaurants are offering pub food menus, mostly fried menus, fries, fish fries, burgers, wings, things like that. Not a lot of vegetarian options there. It's just sort of not conducive to the pub food scene.
How does Buffalo compare to other cities of its size?
Well, I think that it's difficult because if you look at other mid-sized cities, we are keeping with the Midwest in terms of where our food scene is. We've got a ways to go to hit where somewhere like Pittsburgh is today or where somewhere like Portland is. But I do think that we're on that track. And the only thing slowing us down is the numbers of people who choose to eat at chain restaurants instead of frequent their local independents.
Now, there are those who don't eat meat but will dine on fish, and you can get a cheese pizza or a grilled cheese just about anywhere. So we're talking about those who avoid eating, and I quote from your article, anything that has ever had a mother.
Well, that's a whole different thing. And I think a lot of people associate vegetarianism with sort of this college diet, right, of like cheese, pizza, and beer. And that's not really a legitimate, healthy vegetarian diet. And in fact, I think only a college student could survive on that. What we're looking for is a breadth of opportunities where vegetables and grains are really a showpiece and are treated with as much love and care as a premium piece of beef or a fantastic piece of seafood flown in from Boston, not a second thought sort of dish, which would be, you know, a tossed together pasta dish that's really not got a lot of thought put into it, or, you know, the multitude of eggplant things. Those sorts of things are available. That's what a lot of people have done to include vegetarian food on their menu. But it's really not what we're looking for and what more progressive cities are doing. We really want to see seasonal fruits and vegetables, as well as a lot of great, fantastic grains, take center of plate.
So what are you looking for? More vegetarian restaurants or for existing restaurants to expand their menu offerings?
Oh, absolutely. We would like existing restaurants to expand their offerings so that we're not demonizing those who want to have meat. You should be able to go out with your family and have your niece who's a vegan, or your daughter who only eats fish, or your dad who wants a big steak, and you should all be happy. I realize you don't want to have all restaurants have completely huge democratic menus like that, but there should be variety. And I think that actually that's what I look for in any restaurant menu. That's why I'm kind of bored by steakhouses, because the sameness of it. It's not, I like meat, but I like to see variety, and I think it's a healthy variety. So I would like to see all restaurants taking vegetarians and vegans into account.
Well, and I think the biggest misconception, again, is that a vegetarian will eat fish. I've asked over the years hundreds of chefs, you know, what vegetarian offerings do you have on your menu? And 90% of the time they come back with a fish offering. That's not particularly vegetarian. It's more pescatarian is the term that's used. And it's really, a lot of vegetarians do eat fish, but I would say a very, very large percentage of vegetarians don't eat anything, as we said, that has ever had a mother.
Why is it that many of the restaurants offering vegetarian options in our area are ethnic in nature?
Maybe Krista would disagree, but I think a lot of this is, meat in many cultures is expensive.
It is. It's not widely available.
Yeah. So they become very creative and learn how to make, as an Indian food, which is so wonderful, learn how to make delicious meals out of using legumes and grains and vegetables.
And there's also, of course, socio-religious reasons.
Oh, yes.
Most cultures have some variation of religion in their culture that doesn't permit the eating of meat. A lot of Asian cultures, Indian culture, you know. So I think that you're more likely to find meatless dishes on menus where immigrants from those communities have moved here to cook for us.
We don't have time to describe all of the restaurants and vegetarian dishes they offer that you outline in the article. People will have to read it when it comes out in a few days. But can you share perhaps one or two that really appeal to you?
Well, I would say that two of my favorite dishes that we discussed, both a pasta dish at Trattoria Roma and a beet salad at Bistro Europa, what makes them fantastic is that both of these restaurants work with local farms. So the produce that they are serving is less than a day old. And that really just ups the ante in terms of both nutritional value and flavor on the plate.
I have to second Krista on the beet salad, but I've also eaten at the Palace of Doses. And that's, if you're used to most of the Indian restaurants that we've known that have been around for a while, Palace of Doses is a little different because it's a type of food in these long wraps that are called dosas. I guess they'd be sort of like a long skinny burrito or something like that. And they have all these grape fillings, and that's all vegetarian, but very, very interesting food.
And what else are you talking about in the, because you describe August as the vegetarian issue.
Well, It's our sandwich issue. August has a lot of food content.
So we have how many sandwiches, Elizabeth?
28 sandwiches.
28 sandwiches. And then in the eat section, we have this vegetarian feature, which has, I think, close to a dozen or more vegetarian options for people. So we're encouraging everyone to get out there and have something yummy.
So all coming up in the August issue of Buffalo Spree. Elizabeth and Krista, thanks so much for coming in.
As always, thanks, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree, and Krista Glennie-Seshu is the magazine's food editor. Mark Scott, WBFO News.